both of those titles. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Thursday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to be talking about a very interesting subject today, a subject that I'm sure every single person in the listening audience today will be able to relate to, because that's the subject of suffering. We're going to be talking about this subject today from a unique perspective, though. We're speaking with author Nancy Guthrie about hearing Jesus speak into your suffering. And that's a little bit different look at this subject than you're probably used to. I'm sure you're probably used to reading books on this particular subject or hearing preachers talk about it, in which basically, let me just say it right up front, just basically giving platitudes, you know, just giving quaint little sayings about our suffering, but not necessarily looking in depth at what Jesus actually had to say about our suffering. Let me read a little blurb here. Maybe it'll become a little bit more clear to you. A little blurb here from the publisher. It says this: in this paradigm-shifting book, Nancy Guthrie gently invites readers to lean in along with her to hear Jesus speak understanding and insight into the lingering questions we all have about the hurts of life. What was God's involvement in this? According to Nancy, this question is not a bad thing at all, but instead an opportunity. It's a chance to hear with fresh ears the truth in the promises of the gospel we may have misapplied, and in the purposes of God we may have misunderstood. In hearing Jesus speak into your sorrow, Nancy shines a light on 11 statements of Jesus that he made throughout the gospel, mining them for meaning for those who hurt. She says this, and I quote, "Honestly, I've chosen many of these statements because they are the ones that have been most challenging for me to understand and to apply in my own experiences." She also writes that they are the ones that have caused me to say, "I just don't get it." As I read them, I tried to fit them into my established understanding of the nature and the purpose of the ministry of Jesus. And over, I find that the passages of Scripture that on the surface seem indiscernible to me hold some of the richest truths, life-changing, perspective-shaping, hope-giving truths in all the gospel. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about these, or at least some of these 11 statements of Jesus that have meant so much to Nancy as she has written this book. Now, we've had Nancy on the broadcast before for a couple of the other books that she wrote, primarily the books that dealt with compilation of sermons dealing with the incarnation at one time, that book, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, and then sermons that she compiled dealing with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And in that book, we looked at Jesus, I'm trying to think of that hymn, Nancy, Draw Me Near the Cross, right?
Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
That's the one. Thank you. And so in both of those books, we had this compilation of sermons. But this one is different. This one is really one coming directly from Nancy's heart, where she had started to write in Holding On to Hope, one of her original books. But then this one goes even further about examining these texts. Let me just say this about Nancy. She has a passion for sharing God's word through her growing Bible teaching ministry. She has worked in the Christian publishing industry, and that's where we met for 2 decades now. She's the author of a number of books, including Holding On to Hope and the other ones that I mentioned. And both her and her husband, David, and their son, Matt, live in Nashville, Tennessee. You can go out to Nancy's website to read more about her and her speaking opportunities, or chances for you to hear her speak, out at her website at nancyguthrie.com. That's Nancy, and last name is spelled G-U-T-H-R-I-E.com. With that, Nancy, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Kevin. I've been looking forward to talking to you.
Oh, great. Me talking to you, too, as well. I wanted to start right in the introduction of this, because in the introduction, you lay your heart bare about the fact that this story that you wrote here, this particular book that you wrote, comes out of your own times of sorrow in your own life. Why don't I just let you explain that from the introduction?
Yeah, thank you. It was about 10 years ago that my husband and I, we had a son, Matt, who's 8 at the time, and I gave birth to a daughter that we named Hope. And immediately, it was obvious not everything was quite right. She had club feet, but of course, you know, the doctor said, well, we can take care of that. But, you know, that wasn't all. She was real lethargic, and she had a real large soft spot on her head and kind of extra skin on her neck and a flat little chin. And she didn't move much or cry much. And so on her second day, a geneticist came and looked her over and came to my hospital room and told my husband, David, and I that he suspected Hope had a rare metabolic disorder called Zellweger syndrome, something that we had never heard of. And he just explained that she was missing in all of her cells this tiny subcellular particle that you and I have in every cell of our bodies called a peroxisome. And peroxisomes have one job, to take out the trash of the cells, namely long-chain fatty acids. And he explained that basically Hope was missing this tiny subcellular particle, and because of that, these long-chain fatty acids would build up in all of her cells and become toxic. Mm-hmm. And he said, there's no treatment for this, and there's no cure. And the reality is that most children born with this syndrome live less than 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And as you might imagine, that was overwhelming news to us. And even as I think of it now, I just think of the sorrow that began to overwhelm me, even just with his words. Mm-hmm. And he was just about on target. Hope was with us for just a little bit over 6 months, was with us 199 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess I kind of hoped that since I had known from the very beginning that her life would be short, and since we had done as much as possible to celebrate and enjoy the days that God gave us with her, that somehow maybe my grief might be lightened, but it just didn't work out that way for me. And, you know, I think at first after Hope died, I felt, in a sense, enriched by having had her and all the meaningful conversations we had. And then as the months went on, though, I began to be filled with questions and just so flattened out by sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suppose that was our first taste of sorrow, but the reality was there was more ahead for us.
Mm. How short of a time period after that did you give birth to Gabriel?
It was a year and a half later that I discovered I was pregnant, and which was really quite shocking for us, Kevin, because we'd taken surgical steps to prevent another pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I turned up pregnant, it was, you know, we had this mixture of feelings. There was a part of us that was hopeful and, you know, like this cautious sense of joy that we might have another child to raise that we wanted. And yet we knew the realities of the genetic odds we were facing. You know, when we had our son, Matt, who's 19, who we didn't know how blessed we were because he hit the healthy 75% odds.
Mm.
And after we had Hope, then we knew that every time we have a child, just the genetic realities are that that child would have a 25% chance of having this fatal syndrome. And so,
wow,
that's why we had taken those surgical steps. And So, you know, just knowing that I was pregnant, it's which will it be, these healthy 75% odds or these 25% odds of having the fatal syndrome? And I went through prenatal testing, and we discovered that, indeed, this time I was pregnant with a son, Gabriel. And Gabriel also was born with the fatal Zellweger syndrome. And, you know, it was different that time, knowing the whole time I was carrying him, that his life, knowing what his life and his death would be like. But it was different in some ways, too. It wasn't as scary, I think, because we had been down that road of sorrow before. But, you know, once again, then after his death, there we were left. We were back to a family of three and feeling a great sense of emptiness that he had left us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can relate in some way. We hadn't talked off air about this at all, but my wife and I have also lost two children in infancy as well, two boys, Ryan and Kyle. Mm. And so we understand a little bit of what's there. But both of us can relate to the idea that people just don't know what to say during those times. Well-meaning people, they say some things that just you wish weren't said. And on top of all that, as you point out in the book, you're going through all of this questioning as to why did this happen. You know, you mentioned in the book here these statements. This is the place where we ask, is the gospel really true? Some of the words from your pastor, I think, at the graveside, Hope's graveside service. And, you know, this is where the gospel really causes us to look at the gospel in depth.
It does, doesn't it?
To find our life, to find an answer for sure. But our very life is sucked out of us from these experiences as well. And so we're finding our own life again.
You know, I think it's one of the hidden gifts of the suffering we experience, Kevin, that, you know, we're kind of content to stay in the shallow waters theologically in terms of figuring out who God is and how he works and what God's purposes are in the world and in our lives. I mean, we're just content with a shallow version of that until something devastating comes along in our lives. And then we go, now, wait a minute. I think especially for us in modern America, where we have taken sips of the health and wealth gospel that has caused us to think that God is our servant. And when he is lucky enough for us to turn toward him and make a decision for him, that then in a sense he is somehow in our debt and he owes us, and what he owes us for our goodness and our faith is a comfortable life, a life where he protects us from anything hurtful or harmful. And, you know, so those of us who love God and then come to this place of incredible loss, that's just shaken to the core, and it's revealed, for one thing, for the lie that it is. But then we go, okay, so what can I expect from you, God? And what are you doing in the world and in my life? And why would you allow me to hurt so deeply?
Mm-hmm. You point to a passage in the scripture that I want to talk about as soon as we come back from the break, but it's found in John chapter 6, where we see this type of attitude before our very eyes unfolded in the gospel, where they're following after Jesus and everything is wonderful. You know, the crowds are all there, but then he begins to ratchet up what he's been saying. Mm-hmm. And as he does that, the crowds begin to fade away so that everyone is gone and only the disciples are there. And as the disciples are there, Jesus says, are you going to leave also? And they say to him, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk about that when we come back.
You are the source of life. I can't be left behind. No one else will do.
I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow.
Dale Tackett, creator of the Truth Project, is coming to the Upstate on August 27th for a one-night event. Hi, this is Tony Bean for the Palmetto Family Council, reminding you that seating is limited and you don't want to miss this challenge to live biblically in today's culture. The August 27th event will encourage you and equip you to engage your culture. Remember, Dale Tackett of the Truth Project will be live in the Upstate on August 27th. For ticket information, go to www.truthproject-sc.com.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, 5 state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our Triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
Natalie Grant singing the song Held, which is extremely appropriate for the subject that we're talking about today. We're talking about hearing Jesus speak into your sorrow. You know, Nancy, so oftentimes, as you were saying just before the break, you know, we have one idea, we have one concept of what Christianity is all about, and unfortunately, many times, that concept is one that there is no real suffering that comes into the believer's life. We think that everything is just going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to be wonderful now that we've received Christ as our Savior. And the fact is that we live still in a sin-cursed world. The fact is that there is tons of sorrow and hurt that's still real sorrow, not not the, you know, minor stuff, but real pain and suffering, but yet the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the relationship with this, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, is enough to strengthen us and to enable us to make it through this life. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, and I feel grateful that my sorrow has pushed me to the place to discover how true that is. Mm-hmm. You know, I think sometimes we give lip service to entrusting our lives with God and to God. And there's a sense in which we don't realize whether or not we've put our whole weight onto His promises. And like Natalie's saying, you know, expecting that we'll be held until we're forced to. And it's a beautiful thing to need God desperately and wonder if He will be enough for you. Mm-hmm. And then to find in the hardest, lowest places of life that He can be enough and that He's good and that He does hold you.
Mm-hmm. And this is a message not only for people that have lost loved ones like you have and like I have as well, but also in every other situation of life. There's people that are listening today that are in very difficult marital situations. There are people that have had what I call sometimes daughters, little daughters, which by that I mean hopes and dreams and for various things. You know, some are struggling in their singleness. Some are financial situations that are just seem unbearable at this time. All different levels and types of suffering. And yet the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I keep stressing not just the gospel itself, but the gospel in the way that it enables us to converse with Christ and to enjoy that unique relationship with Him, that is enough if we will delve into it the way that He intends us to. That is enough to enable us to get through this life joyfully and victoriously as Christians.
You know, that's exactly one of the statements of Jesus that I give one chapter to in the book, Hearing Jesus Speak to Your Sorrow. And that is what Jesus said to Paul. And, you know, we don't know really what Paul's suffering was. Well, we know what a lot of it was because he listed it out, you know, to the Corinthians. I mean, we know that, you know, he was stoned and shipwrecked and beaten and he was cold and he was hungry. And he doesn't complain about any of those things. But then there's some kind of suffering, and he's not straightforward about what it is, but he calls it a thorn in his flesh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it must have been, this wasn't any little tiny prick for him to plead three times for God to take it away. It had to be some kind of unrelenting agony. And so here's this faithful servant of God who has experienced miracles in his own life, like when he was blind and then that dropped away, and he's been the conduit of miracles in others' lives. He's healed people numerous times. And here Paul comes to Jesus and he asks repeatedly for God to remove this thorn, whatever it was. And God doesn't. And instead, it says the Lord or Jesus says to him, "My grace is sufficient and my strength is perfected in weakness." And so Jesus basically says to him, you know, I'm not going to take away the thorn, but I'm going to give you just what you need, when you need it, in the form you need it to sustain you, even though I don't take the thorn away. And, you know, that's a word from Jesus in some ways we don't want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was a time in my life when I read that verse where Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you." It just, for one thing, it just sounded like religious gobbledygook a little bit. And it almost seemed like a pat on the head, like, there, you'll be okay. And I realize now, I think I see in a deeper way, that what Jesus is saying here is not trite. It's it's perhaps one of the most significant promises that we have to hold on to. That he promises, you know, in this pain that I don't take away, I'm going to be enough for you in it. You know, I'm going to be enough to face the empty bank account and the empty bed and the empty bedroom and this profound emptiness that so many of the losses in our lives leave. Jesus is promising, I'll be enough for you in the midst of that. Mm. And that's significant.
In the book, you take these 11 statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, not 11 statements I think that many of our listeners would expect. Some of the more difficult statements. And then you look at how this was experienced by Christ in his own ministry, in his own work here in earning for us a salvation that we couldn't earn for ourselves, but nevertheless going through a tremendous amount of pain in doing that. You take his statement and his suffering and then liken it to what we're going through and draw strength from that. Let me give the readers here, or our listeners here, a little bit of insight into what I'm talking about. The first chapter is here Jesus saying, I too have known overwhelming sorrow. And so the idea that, you know, Christ can sympathize with us. He has known this crushing weight and agonizing loneliness and grief. And we hear him cry out in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38. We hear him cry out about this overwhelming suffering that he is going through and sorrow. And then just from that one, I'll just read the second one as well. Hear Jesus saying, I too have heard God tell me no.
Mm-hmm.
So speak to those two issues, mm-hmm. if you would. When we come back from, are you going to break? Okay, when we come back from the break, I want us to look at those two, because I think, you know, people need to understand that Jesus sympathizes with them. And they also need to understand that sometimes God is not going to answer the prayer in the way that we think that he should answer the prayer. He's going to do what is right for his own glory. And so let's listen to this on the way out. This is organist Diana Bish of the historic Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale. What wondrous love is this?
Discipleship. One powerful but underutilized tool in building your faith in God's power is giving thanks. You see, God has worked some miracles for you in the past, but you've forgotten about them. God commands you to remember them, mark them, celebrate them. When you do, your faith comes alive. It's simple. The more you can thank God for every miracle he's already done, the more real your faith is about what God is going to do in the future. Giving thanks is a powerful tool for growing your faith. A disciple tip. This is Christian Talk 660.
There's good subs, and then there's great subs. Hi, I'm Isaac Feinman, here to tell you about Firehouse Subs and Taylors on Wade Hampton Boulevard. How about that hook and ladder sub, huh? Smoked turkey breast, Virginia honey ham, smothered with Monterey Jack cheese, and fully involved. You make it a combo, just add chips and a drink, and how about a freshly baked cookie or a warm brownie? You'll enjoy it. It's a great sub at Firehouse Subs and Taylors.
Dale Taggett, creator of the Truth Project, is coming to the Upstate on August 27th for a one-night event. Hi, this is Tony Beam for the Palmetto Family Council, reminding you that seating is limited and you don't want to miss this challenge to live biblically in today's culture. The August 27th event will encourage you and equip you to engage your culture. Remember, Dale Taggett of the Truth Project will be live in the Upstate on August 27th. For ticket information, go to www.truthproject-sc.com.
More and more, people are deciding to secure their family safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dry Fire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com.
Statement made in this hymn, I need thee every hour. There's the truth. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, apart from me, ye can do nothing. And so we need him. We need to depend upon him and rest in him every single hour of the day. That's Don Moen from the Integrity Worship Team. I want to, just before we go back to our conversation today about hearing Jesus speak into your sorrow, I just want to give you a couple of quick program notes. One, next week on the broadcast, first of all, on Tuesday, I just spoke with Senator Jim DeMint just an hour and a half ago or so, and taped a brief interview with him about his latest book, Saving Freedom. And so we'll be speaking with Senator Jim DeMint on Tuesday's broadcast. You'll be hearing that interview and talking about a couple of those things related to that. And then also on Thursday's broadcast, July 9th, Elise Fitzpatrick will be with me, and we'll be talking about her latest book called Counsel from the Cross. You remember the last book I spoke with Elise about was Comfort from the Cross. This is now Counsel from the Cross. Very, very good book. I'm really enjoying reading through that, and so look forward to that broadcast next Thursday right here on Knowing the Truth. I want to let you know that I do have copies of Nancy's book here with me that I'd be happy to send out to you, Hearing Jesus Speak into Your Sorrow. This is put out by Tyndale Publishers. And so if you would like a copy of this book, which I highly recommend, if you would like a copy of this book, all you need to do is contact me either through Twitter. I've got Twitter up and running, and that is twitter.com/knowingthetruth. Or you could simply call into the broadcast with your question or your comment, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Or you can also send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Any of those ways, send in your question or your comment, and then follow that up with an email giving me your mailing address, and we'll mail out one of these books to you, Hearing Jesus Speak into Your Sorrow. I also wanted to just let you know quickly about a couple of resources that are available. First of all, there's a free download being offered right now from the Listener's Bible. And so if you go out to the Listener's Bible, you can they're offering a free Declaration of Independence read by Max McLean. And then I also wanted to let you know that Ligonier Ministries is offering a copy of R.C. Sproul's book. It's his book. I'm trying to find it here on my Twitter. But if you go out to their Renewing Your Mind website, you can find out about a book they're offering for any amount, and I'll try to figure out which one that was at the next break. So let's go back to our conversation with Nancy. Nancy, just before the break, I was talking about the text there found in Matthew 26. My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus talking, of course, showing us that he understands the crushing weight and the agonizing loneliness of grief. Mm. Would you expound upon what you write about that in chapter one, please?
You know, that was just such a significant discovery for me. In the year after Hope died and Bible study, we worked our way through the book of Matthew, and I underlined it and I wrote a note about it that day when I saw that verse. You know, I was so sad. and I came across a verse where Jesus is, you know, he's going back and forth from praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's got his closest friends there with them, and he has asked them to pray, and he says to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And I just remember writing a note that just says, Jesus understands what it feels like to be overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And, you know, I just remember not thinking I was necessarily dying, but that sense, sorrow is a weight. And sometimes it is a physical weight. I think oftentimes I felt like a physical weight on my chest and like it was pressing the life out of me, like I could barely get a breath. You know, I think we want in anyone that we want to be close to, we want the sense that they understand, especially the hard and painful things about our lives, that they're not standoffish about it, that they... We want a friend who we feel like gets it. Mm-hmm. You know, those are our close friends. We go, oh, they really get it. And I guess there was a sense in which I read that day, and I thought, Jesus gets it. He understands this heavy weight on my chest that is pressing life out of me, because he has felt that too. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I sensed he felt there is, you know, he goes back, and the disciples are sleeping, and he says to them, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? And I just saw, you know, the other thing he understands is how lonely this feels. You know, I think if you boil grief down to its essence, it boils down to a deep, pervasive loneliness. And that's only added to when we sense that those friends that we thought would be there for us when the going got really tough have disappeared and aren't there for us. And it can be so hard, I have found, in my own experience and with so many of the grieving people that I talk to on a regular basis, it can be so hard to not become resentful toward the people who disappoint us in our low times of life. And once again, it just helps me to see that Jesus understands what that feels like. He knows what it's like to be at the lowest point of life and look around, and the ones you thought would be there for you just aren't there. They're sleeping when they should be praying. Mm.
Now, I was thinking as you were talking about that Jesus understands, I've said many times when we talk about the theanthropic person of Christ, the idea of a being God-man, that I often tell my congregation that he was man, that he can sympathize. He has the ability to sympathize because when he took to himself human flesh, he made himself then liable to pain and to suffering, something that he wasn't liable to as without human flesh and just as the second person of the Trinity. So he is man that he can sympathize, but he was God so that he could satisfy divine justice. So it's so important, that theanthropic person of Christ. But you point out that, you know, that people, even the most well-meaning people, even our closest friends, are not really capable of dealing with that deep loneliness, that deep understanding that we need. And that's
nobody can fix it.
That's right. That's why we need to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, because even though we may be able to relate to their suffering, even though we may empathize with them, we just don't have the capacity to meet their deepest needs the way that Christ can. And so it's important that we point people to him, right, and not to us.
Absolutely. And, you know, and so often when I talk to hurting people who have allowed themselves to become bitter and resentful, I point out to them, you know what? The problem is not what other people have said and done or not done. The problem is your continuing to throw logs on the fire of your resentment toward them, you know, and and the growing sin of bitterness growing in your own heart. And, you know, people will always disappoint us, and we just have to determine that we are going to cultivate a sense of gratitude toward people and toward God, and that we are going to lean into Him in this time to be all-sufficient for us when people let us down.
Mm. In chapter 2, as I mentioned earlier, you said, you say this, I too have heard God tell me no. Here is, you're hearing Jesus say this in His words here found in Matthew 26:39, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done and not mine. Explain to our listeners what is meant by this.
Well, you're talking about the humanness of Jesus, and I think we see it here like nowhere else. And in fact, quite honestly, it makes me a little uncomfortable. you know, I mean, here we're seeing that Jesus wants something, in a sense, in his humanness, that's different than what his Father wants. And yet I think we know that Jesus repeatedly said he was going to the cross. He turned his face to go to Jerusalem. He kept telling his disciples, I'm going to die. And that's what he came for. It's what he wanted to do. And yet, once again, when we see him here in Gethsemane, as he's just staring down the white-hot anger of God that is about to envelop him for sin, He comes to God, his Father, and says, you know, if there's any other way, that's what I want. If there's any other way. But there's something that I want even more than that. There's like and I guess I relate to that because I think, you know, sometimes there's things I want, and then, but there's other wants, you know, that get in the way. And I'm always hopeful it's those deeper wants that are pleasing to God that win out, you know?
Amen.
That's the only way we discipline our desires, is that deeper desire to be pleasing to God wins out over our little wants that are self-centered and sometimes sinful. And for Jesus, it was that human want to avoid the cross, and certainly this Satan-inspired temptation to avoid the cross. And so he goes to God, and three times goes to God, you know, if there's any other way, take this away. And in essence, God says no. And, you know, I often hear people quote piece of scripture that says, you know, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at this prayer, I think, who was more righteous than Jesus? Absolutely no one.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that, God said no to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess where this helps me most, Kevin, is that, you know, when I have gone to God with desperate prayers and he has said no to me, first of all, I know that Jesus understands. But more than that, I just appreciate that Jesus doesn't just show me that he understands. He shows me how to respond, because the way Jesus responded when he didn't get what he wanted from God was that he submitted to what God wanted.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful submission, that he learned obedience from what he suffered. And he's showing me that I can do that too, that I can so entrust my life to God, to his good plan that may require my suffering, that if Jesus can do that, he's showing me that I can do that too.
Mm. That passage, like you said, it's a bit uncomfortable when we first read it there, but what insight into the deep suffering and sorrow of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that about the Bible, that it doesn't ignore these things or just simply pass over them, like we were saying in the beginning. It deals with them. We have real suffering. We have real sorrow. But the Bible and the truth about our God is able to overcome this. I think about John chapter 12, when the Greeks came to Jesus and he said, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour.
Yeah.
And then the voice comes from heaven, and he says, I have both glorified my name and I will glorify it again. And I often think when I read that passage that he is talking about that he is glorifying his name in the submission of his Son to the cross, as you were just saying. But when he says, I will glorify it again, is this will be replicated now in his people.
Mm.
He says, I glorified it in him, but his people will be just like him, where our fleshly desire, our desire is not for pain. We're not morbid about this or masochist in any way. But our desire obviously would be to get out of this. But if not, our greater desire is for God's glory to be shown in our life. And so we're willing to submit ourselves. We've got to take a very quick commercial break again. And when we come back, we're going to go ahead and talk about another chapter in this book. I want to let you know, you're welcome to join the conversation. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. We'll be right back.
Life becomes a shattered dream that's slipping through my trembling hands. I need to know that you are near, to know you see each falling tear. When there is no one else who understands, when I can't find the words to speak, hear the pain in each heartbeat. Before I even call to you, in my deepest hour of need, that's when you come and pour your mercy on me. Your beauty shines, your love surrounds. Bring hope alive, help me believe, and trust you one more time in brokenness. You shine.
You've probably heard about tweets and news feeds and friend requests, and join this group and join that group. Well, guess what? ChristianTalk660.com has information about our new Facebook group. You can be a part. We'd love for you to interact with us, because the mission of Christian Talk 660 is to minister without compromise to the body of Christ, promote unity among believers, and mobilize Christians into action in the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That last part, mobilizing, that's very important to the mission of the ministry here. Because online at Facebook and Twitter and some of the other websites, you can actually connect with other friends who listen to the ministry. And also share your faith comment on recent news stories and learn more about upcoming events. We'd love for you to get plugged in. And you can find out more information even now. Go to our website, ChristianTalk660.com, and check out the Facebook.com link. We hope you'll enjoy it. And thanks for being a part of Christian Talk 660. More and more people are deciding to secure their family safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dry Fire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com.
A compelling mix of ministry, public policy, lifestyle, and lighthearted fun on the phone. Janet Parshall's America.
For a lot of people, they're scared to death. They'd rather go to the mission field than to bring any kind of spiritual influence into the workplace. And we know we're being truthful here. Why is that?
We're excited to have her. She's Janet Parshall, and it's Janet Parshall's America. Right here, weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Christian Talk 660.
Not lift our souls to another. Oh, God.
was Mark Schultz. Give us clean hearts. We're talking about the subject of hearing Jesus speak into your sorrow. We have just a couple minutes left on the broadcast today. Let me just tell you, if you've just joined in and maybe just heard a few minutes of the broadcast today, let me just let you know some good news. Good news is the entire interview is archived out on the website, www.knowingthetruth.org, and the audio file of our conversation today will be up there just about an hour after the broadcast or so, so you can go out there and download a free MP3 of the entire broadcast, and it's there. It's also out on sermonaudio.com as well. Nancy, with just a couple of minutes left, I had to select one or two of the chapters that you have here left to get you to comment on in closing the broadcast out today. And I guess, you know, your chapter 10 is one to me that sums it all up, of course, in resting upon Christ in chapter 11. But in 10, you quote from Revelation, the book of Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18, where he says, "Don't be afraid. I hold the keys of death and the grave." Would you just help us in closing out the broadcast today by summarizing what you'd say in these couple chapters?
Yeah. You know, just when I think of this chapter now, I think about a woman I met a few weeks ago whose husband was a firefighter and who died in the line of duty. And, you know, she was just, all of these if-onlys were bothering her. You know, if only hadn't he gotten to work today, that day, or if only that fire hadn't happened, or, you know, and I think a lot of us who lose someone to death struggle with a lot of if-onlys. Mm-hmm. And I think what Jesus is saying to us here helps quiet all of those tyrannies about the death of another, and that is that Jesus is saying, I'm in control. I'm in control of life, and I'm in control of death. When he says, I hold the keys to death, you know, the person who controls the keys controls access, opens and closes. And I know for me this was significant, knowing that my daughter Hope's life would be short. You know, there's a part of me that wanted to pray for God to extend her life as long as possible. And I think a lot of us feel that way about the ones that we love. And I guess, honestly, Kevin, I just came to the point, however, where I just thought, you know what? I'm not sure I want to ask God to change his plan. Mm-hmm. Instead, I want to trust that his plan for Hope's life is good and right. Mm-hmm. You know, the psalmist said, every day of my life was written in your book before one of them came to be. Mm-hmm. God has ordained our birth, and he's ordained the length of our lives. And he's not being cruel when he takes us to himself. He's got a purpose and a plan for our life. Its length is ordained by him, and we can trust him with that.
Amen. I often tell the congregation that, quote the scripture verse that says, the God of all the earth will do right.
Oh, don't we need that verse?
Yes,
wow.
Amen. We can trust him. He's wiser than us. He's more loving than us.
Yeah.
He knows the end from the beginning, and we can rest in him, and he is good.
Yeah.
He is always good to us. And so I have a statement here. This is very good to know, but from a listener here in the Upstate who sent me an email. I won't give her name, just her initials, TS here from the Upstate. She says this, Kevin, I am learning so much from this conversation. I have suffered much and continue to in some ways. I thought I read just about everything on suffering, but this has given me great new insight. Thanks. And so we're going to go ahead and send her out a copy of this book as well.
Uh-huh.
Nancy, thank you so much, first of all, for writing this book. I'm going to use this in my pastoral ministry, and I encourage other pastors to as well. But thank you for writing this book first and foremost, and then thank you for being with us on the program today.
Oh, it's been my joy to be with you, Kevin. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Well, you've been listening to Knowing the Truth, and we'll see you again here next week. And we'll be talking with Elise Fitzpatrick on Thursday and Senator Jim DeMint on Tuesday. We'll see you then. Have a wonderful 4th of July.
Love that's never failing. The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
The hope of nations.
Christian Talk 660 is WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson. Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia.